in dedicating their children. It is a very important, it's not just a formality. It's very important that you dedicate your children.
Yes.
I know it's been maybe a couple of months ago, our daughter who dedicated her little girl a little over a year ago. Some kind of attack from the enemy was coming against them, and you know, we were just reminded them, remember, you gave her to the Lord. And so that's how they prayed. God, remember, we gave her to you.
Yep.
And so it's a very important, very important commitment that you guys have made. Now, I do have a couple of announcements, and I'll look out in the crowd there and make sure that I'm not missing anything. But one is, this is very important. One is, we need some food bank volunteers. I know that Bob and Karen pick up about 4 days a week. And since there's only 7 days in a week, they're picking up more than 50% of the time. They need some help.
Yeah.
If you can, if you have got a car, van, whatever, trailer, if you can pick up for the food bank ministry, you need to be sure to see Karen. Raise your hand. Because the food bank needs your help. So if you can see her, please see her after the service. Also, a little bird told me something this morning. It's not sunshine. A little bird told me that something this morning. And I think that it would probably be appropriate if we would sing happy birthday to Crystal, because she has hit the big...
2-0.
Yeah, times two. No. You got to be way up there to be an elder.
Wait a minute. The definition of elder of the church is the husband of one wife.
Yeah, she can't be that.
Okay.
Anyway, I just committed. There you go, Jean. You go ahead.
Birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Crystal. Happy birthday to you.
I think she was being, yes. I think she was being very discreet with that. I don't know why. I mean, you know, it does come around eventually. Yeah. Anyway, we also need some children's church volunteers. Yes, Tanya is on the front row saying, yes, yes, Lord. So we need, this morning we had a little one that actually isn't walking yet, so we need help with nursery, little toddlers that, you know, run around, and then little bigger ones. So if you can help in the children's church, we would sure appreciate it. And you need to see Tanya. So there you go. Any age qualifies for church helpers. So anyway, giving receipts. Now, if you have not gotten your giving receipt from me, please be sure to hunt me down, Barry and Bobby Joe. I had yours last week and I didn't give it. So anyway, be sure to get with me after church because I've got it. Also want to remind you, Monday night is men's Bible study here at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday night, we have a potluck at Bob and Karen Romero's home at between 6 and 7 o'clock for the potluck, 7 o'clock for Bible study, and then also Wednesday night, we do have a midweek time in the Word. So we want to encourage you. Looking, and I don't see any faces. I think I'm finished.
Praise the Lord.
This is a newsletter. So if you didn't get a newsletter, it's back there at the table. Be sure to get a newsletter. On the back side is a kids' corner, and I think that there's a separate sheet even also for the children. There's some stuff in there you might want to take a look at, and even an article you might want to read. But it is in the back.
I have to get one of those. I know. She won't let me have it, though. Praise the Lord. Now, for all you guests, thank you for coming. We hope you meet the Lord today here. I hope you enjoy His presence. And you're always welcome back. But the second time you come, you're not a guest any longer. Children, sit down. Okay. I just followed the directions that I saw from the back. Praise the Lord. All right, if you gentlemen will come forward with the baskets, we'll watch them be filled and run over. I'm going to say it one more time. I keep telling you, if you're not going to believe the scripture that I tell you, then I'm going to brainwash you. I'm going to get to you one way or the other. I want you to take your offering, and I want you to tell God you won't just throw it in the basket, that there's strings attached. Are you hearing me? For your tithe and your offering, by faith, there are strings attached. It's called the Word of God. And you're not going to throw it at some preacher, and you're not going to throw it at some church. You're going to throw it as unto the Lord. Amen? And you're going to expect the Word to take effect because of that. What does that mean? That means the blessings will overtake you. That's a promise of God, not mine. Will you do that?
Yeah.
All right. Father, we thank You for the obedience of Your people. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You when we can put those two together, that Your blessings overtake us. So we by choice this morning, by our will, say that we put those together. What we give and the Word of God will join and create abundance. For that we'll give You praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll tell you this, the only way you ever get anything accomplished in front of a crowd is you got to try. Amen? And fortunately for all of us, God honors our trying more than our accuracy. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, you can't say she's not full of energy. Hallelujah. Are you ready to receive the Word this morning?
Yes.
Okay. Father, You heard the response of Your people. They want to hear from You this morning. Let that be established by their desire, our faith, and this prayer. That You are here, that Your Word is alive and real, and it's going to move us, shake us, and change us this morning. We acknowledge that in advance. We speak it prophetically. We do it in the name that takes dominion over every name, in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen. Have I accomplished? Which one? For those that are here, do we do the baby dedication first? All right, children, that means for a few minutes you've got to listen to me. Are you ready to do that? All right, because I'm not ready to be interrupted, so I want you to listen. All right. This morning, Dale and Melanie Golden want to give their children to God. Their children's names, Nicole and Timothy, is that all just the two? Where are they? Oh, there they are. You've already dedicated the rest of them, or you're going to rededicate? I didn't hear you. Okay. Well, I don't have all their names down here. And anybody that knows me knows that it takes me a while to catch on to names. So, all of their children. That's about a half a dozen, right? Okay. But I want to emphasize, I'm going to bring out Nicole and Timothy's name, and you know that I'm talking about the rest, because the two have not been dedicated. And I think this side of the covenant of marriage, this is one of the most important covenants that those parents can make with God. Now, I want to tell you about a covenant. A covenant is not just a promise from one side. It's a promise from both sides. There is no covenant unless there's two. And the Bible explains to us very thoroughly in many different ways, that when we give our children to the Lord, He takes them. That's two. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When we decide to give our children to the Lord, parents, He takes them. He takes them. They become His, and they're no longer yours. Now, are you hearing me? They're no longer yours. And you can't intercede or intervene with the work of God. It is no longer your choice. You're, from that point forward, are given orders on how to raise them, what to tell them, and what not to tell them. Are you ready to do that? Okay, well, while you're comfortable, I'm going to read you some scripture then. I'm not going to make you stand up here because I get long-winded once in a while. They want to give their children to God and to the kingdom of God. If you want to turn with me, I'm going to bounce around a little bit. I'm going to read first from John. And this may sound like a strange scripture to you, but I will make it, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we'll make it understandable. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I want to thank again all of you for being here. I really do want the Lord to touch you this morning. I highly recommend while you're turning to John chapter 4 that you get the tape from last week. If you were not here last week or if you were here last week, you need to get the tape from last week and catch up again. Because you may not know where we're going if you don't do that. Okay, John chapter 4, verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Now I want to say to every parent, has been, will be, and is right now, when you hold your children, you haven't got the slightest idea what gift you have. You don't have the slightest idea how large it can be and what it's going to be used for. And you don't have the slightest idea how much that child is saying, "Give me a drink," every moment of every day. And you are the Jesus to that person. And the Jesus in that person wants you to minister to them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That baby is hungry. That baby is thirsty. You hold a gift from God. You hold a gift from God and you haven't got the slightest idea in your wildest imaginations. It's far beyond anything you've ever thought or asked what you hold. If you'll believe that, that's the way it'll be. If you think they're following your gene pool, then Lord help them. But you give them to God and let God be His gene pool. Then heaven will help them. Amen? What are you holding this morning? What's sitting next to you? Do you really know what this gift is? Do you know this gift? Are you just treating it like one of the kids? Do you really want to tell me that you already know what they will be? When you look at your children, are you telling me you already know what they're going to be? They're a gift from God. And then if you will give them to God, they are God's and a gift to you. I'm going to read you a couple more scriptures. I'm doing this for your comfort, not for mine. You just sit there, but I'm talking to you. I was going to have you come up, but you got a lot to come up. So you just sit there for a little bit. I'm talking to them. I'm talking to them and every parent in here. I want you this morning, and I will speak to all of you, I want you to bring your children to the altar. Now, not this moment, because I don't think we're wide enough. That's great. But I want you to trust your children to the altar. You can turn to me again with Numbers, or two Numbers, chapter 18, verse 6 and 7. And I want to listen. I want you to listen to what God said. Numbers 18, verse 6 and 7. And I want you to stay in the place that you don't know what gift you're holding. You don't know what that gift's going to turn out to be. And I'm going to tell you what God says. "Behold, I myself have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. They are a gift to you, given by the Lord." Now listen, "to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting. There are no children on the face of this earth that were not given by God to work in the church." God selected every child to work in the tabernacle of meeting. You see that? They're not given for your pleasure. They're not given for your inheritance. They're not given for your future income. They're given as workers in the tabernacle of meeting. "Therefore, you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood, for everything at the altar and behind the veil, and you shall serve. I give your priesthood to you as a gift for service. Dale, do you realize that one of your children may be the head of a church one day and you have to serve him? We never know the gift we hold. We never know what God's going to do with that. I submit to you that these are a gift from God, for God, His church. If you're giving this gift back, and I know you are, then my challenge to you is stand back and watch what God does. Please, don't take any credit. Don't get in the way, and don't take credit. I'm going to read this familiar verse of Scripture to you, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. You know this. I want everybody in here to look at each other. Parents, look at your children. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Now, I want to tell you, we've been studying the difference between the made and the maker, and the creator and the created. And I've told you several times that there are two beings that I'm looking at. There's twice the head count in here this morning. Twice the people that I can see. There's a spirit and there's a physical. God says to you, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Parents and your children, there's both. I know that may insult you, but I'm sorry. That is the truth. What you're holding can be a minor, mighty minister of God, or it can be a Jeffrey Dahmer. I've never yet met a parent or seen a parent on television that had a problem child that said, I raised them to be a problem child. That I knew they were a problem child the minute they came out of the womb. And if they did say that, they're a fool. Because God said, I set before you today life and good, death and cursings. In that, now that you've seen that, I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and keep His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away, that so you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, money, fun, whatever, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life. Now listen to this, that both you and your descendants may live. So in your arms, sitting beside your side right now, there is good and there's bad. And the Bible says it's up to you how they turn out. And it says this, if you obey the Lord God and His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments, they will turn out okay. And if you don't, you're both going to turn out bad. Now that's going to torque some child psychologists, isn't it? But I didn't write it. I'm reading it to you. I'm doing more than that. I'm doing what God does in the Word. I'm putting the outcome of your descendants on your shoulders. Well, Stan, that's too much. Well, tough. I just read you the Scripture. I didn't ask you to vote on it. I'm telling you the truth. And I'm telling you it's never too late. It doesn't say that you have to do this the first moment that you hold your baby. Thank God. We can make some mistakes and we can blow it. And we can still depend on the Word. Now I'm going to read you the rest of this. That both you and your descendants may live. That you may love the Lord your God. That you may obey His voice. And that you may cling to Him. For He is your life. He is the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord sware to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. You must know that these gifts, if you want these gifts to be all that they can be, you must live the example. Did you hear me? If you want them to be what God wants them to be, all you have to do is live the example. What is the example? There's those little things all over. Don't try to get them. What is the example? It says that if you obey God, if you obey His commandments, His judgments, His statutes, well, what are some of them? What are some of them? I can't lie. I can't steal. I can't kill. I must love others as much as I love myself. I must treat others that way. I must treat them with respect. The truth of the matter is, if you want to sum them all up, I must love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind. That's how hard it is. Because all the rest will be taken care of. Because if I love Jesus, I won't lie. And if I love Jesus, I won't steal. And that's what I need to teach my children. Okay? This is the covenant I want you to enter into if you're going to give your children this morning. One thing you'll find out about this church, we take everything serious. Sort of. We take everything serious and we're always on a vacation. Now, if you can combine that, you're going to understand what happens in the Spirit of the living God. You take everything like it's life and death serious, but you're always on a vacation. Because you don't bear the burden. Do you understand? All you have to do is seek after the Lord. And He'll take care of you. Give your children to the Lord, and He'll take care of them. Because the same word works for both of you. If it didn't happen to you, if your parents didn't give you to the Lord, well, thank God for the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. He tracked you down anyway. And now He's given you the Word. Your job is to live the example and to instill Him in them the life that God requires. I've said this before openly. I'm going to say it at this baby dedication. You do not raise your children. You rear your children. You raise sunflowers and you rear your children. That requires you to come in contact with their rear once in a while. That's how you rear children. God says that He chastises those that He loves. Don't you think that you're smarter than God? You don't have a better way. Adam and Eve thought they heard a better way too, and they followed it and lost everything. Don't you be so silly. You are to train them in the way they should go. What does that mean? I'm telling you, when they're this big, they have ornery, but they don't have opinion. They're testing you from the time they're born. What are they testing? They're finding out what your way is. And are you going to show me your way? And if you don't, they'll develop their own way. And if you think you're stupid and dumb and of no worth to God, then let them go their way. But if you think you're half good and you're half following God, make them follow you. If you're a failure, let them go their way. If God loves you, make them follow your way. I'm sick and tired of hearing this garbage about they're individuals from the time they're born and you let them and count the 10 and count the 3 and all this nonsense. Let me tell you something. They heard you the first time. They heard you the first time. Make them accountable. But first make you accountable. Are you hearing God the first time? Are you wanting to be like what you want your children to be? Foot loose and fancy free and no obligations. Well, that's the death that you're holding. Don't let them go there. If you love them, don't let them go there. Train them in the way they should go. We'll get there. In fact, you may have to stand a little bit, but I want y'all to come up now. I've saved all you I can save of you. Come on up here. I was trying to treat them nice by letting them sit, but it's time for them to come up. I'm telling you something. I want everybody. Now, I don't want all the family that is committing to this same thing. I want you to come with them. All family that's going to commit to help them raise the child in the way of God, I want you to come up. Don't come up if you don't believe what we're talking about. Then I'll get to the congregation later. Thank you for your help. Why don't you come up here too? That way you can keep helping me. Here, you want to pick some more? By the way, they don't have to be awake to be committed. I'll tell you, you can commit them to God without them being awake. No, just right there is fine. Now this is Grandma. Yours or theirs? It's y'all's Grandma. Mom. Okay, so there's no great-grandkids up here, right?
No, not really.
Okay, got it down. Great. You know, you see this young woman right here? She's 4 times Grandma now. Can you believe that?
No.
Well, she is, and I'm proud. And so I'm not just talking about things that, you know, one of the things that you hold your children in your hand, you realize there's a responsibility. But you see the outcome of the responsibility when you start seeing them have children. And the weight of the thing gets on your shoulder. Praise God. So you got a great lineage out there, right?
I do it all over.
Praise the Lord. So does he. So does he. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's see. Okay. Trying to make sure everybody's up here. Here's my commission to the parents, grandparents, and by the way, I'm asking you to join in with me on something. As I would in a marriage, I'm going to ask the congregation to join in on the dedication. One of the things that I really feel like is that we miss a lot of extended family when the family doesn't get involved in the rearing of children. Are you hearing me? It's one thing for a children's leader to go in the back room and babysit. It's another thing to take the responsibility of training them. And what I want this congregation to do is help these parents, as long as they're here, this family, to help them train these children. Are you hearing me? Accountability to each other. Listen to this. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said unto His disciples, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. One of the things that God's been leading me into is, we talked about it some last night. Last Sunday. We talked about it Tuesday night. And that's submitting to the call. Now, whether you believe God put this call on you or not, these are your call. And you must submit to that call. You don't ever submit to the children, but you submit to the call of God about the children. And I've already been reading some of that to you. It says, if any man will follow Christ, he must take up his cross. Was the cross Jesus' call? You must take up the cross and follow Him. Does what I'm saying make sense to you? These are not children to be reared. They are a call to be honored, to be worshipped, to be given to God. If anybody in here is called, you must give that call back to God before God can actually work through the call. You give the gift, you get the gift, you give the gift. And then He gives back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Y'all been doing good on that one. Y'all been doing good on that one. Praise God. You're not allowed to raise these children the way you want. You're not allowed to raise them the way the world says. There's only one way to be assured that these little lives will turn out great, and that is to deny you and to deny the world and instill and install Jesus Christ. These are just little computers, man. That's all they are. They're little computers. They want info, 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 info. And it's your job to install, 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 install. My computer gets a little sluggish, something goes wrong, we uninstall. And we reinstall. The hardest thing. Uninstall and reinstall. Takes that long to install. It takes a long time to uninstall and reinstall. Be careful for their ears. Be careful for their eyes. Choose their friends. Choose what they eat, what they learn, what they talk. Choose it for them. God did not give them the ability to make the choice. Now He gave you the ability to make the choice. You will determine their outcome by your choices. Proverbs 22:6 says, Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You guys believe God? Then I'm going to tell you something. It's not just a matter of giving them to God, but it says that if you'll train them right now the way they should go. Not give them a vote. Train them the way they should go. The promise of God is not every day that they will walk exactly like they're supposed to, but they will end up where they're supposed to end up. That's what it says. And I can't think of anything stronger, anything mightier for a promise for children than that, and that alone. You know, very few of us have the brain cells or the ability to raise children. You know that, don't you? Come on, admit it. It'll help you. And the older you get, the more you're going to realize that. So somewhere in that background, you better have instilled some God in their life. So you'll have something to stand on. Because you'll wake up one morning, I promise you too, you'll wake up one morning when they're older and you're going to wish that you had to do it again so you can do it right this time. But then this scripture is going to come up. Train them up in the way they should go. And when you start analyzing that, you'll find out that the mistakes you made, they were over here. But the training you gave, if you gave them God, forget this over here. Forget this. The screw-ups don't make any difference. God's got you covered. God's got you covered. If they're yours, He doesn't. If they're His, He'll actually, can I say this openly? He will put pressure on them to do it right. If the children are God's, He'll put pressure on you to do it right. This is the only way. Any other will fail. Luke 18:15 says this. Here's what Jesus did. Now, you know, forgive me, but I've got a lot of drill sergeant in me. And drill sergeants have a strange way of handling things. And I didn't say it was always right. I just said it was in me. That's all I said. And when I say, you know, I'm kind of one of those guys with my children. If I said frog, I wanted them to start jumping and turn around and ask how many times. They didn't always do that. They didn't get killed. They didn't get murdered. I didn't beat them up. In case y'all thought that, I didn't do that. But they got the attitude. My son is in a dark unit in the military right now, and his training is phenomenal. And yesterday I talked to him. And all of a sudden, the clarity of the drill sergeant, now listen to me, the understanding of the drill sergeant is coming clear to him. Because God had his finger on Jason's life. And he knew for him to make it through what he's going through right now, he had to have me. So God put the pressure on me to be the preliminary drill sergeant. And my daughter married a military man. Sound like God had a plan. He made it work out. And you know what? I don't care what anybody else thought about the way I raised my children. It is none of their business. None of their business. As long as me and God sleep together at night and we're at peace, I don't have to regret how I talk to my children or handle them. Everything's fine. God's got it under control, and you will see that one day. That's the promise of God. You will see that. Jesus did this. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called to them and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." Now, for all of you high and mighty Christians, Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God is made up of. Didn't say it was made up of elders and bishops and deacons and pastors and all that. Said, this is what the kingdom of God is made up of. Jesus said that. I didn't. In another place, he said, unless you become as one of these, you won't see the kingdom. You know what you're holding? You're holding the kingdom of God. You're giving the kingdom of God back to the king so he can usher it into other people's lives. Use them as priests and kings in the kingdom of God. Surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter in. Do you see his view of the kingdom right there? It went up, it went backwards, it went upside down. And not one bit of worry entered into him. No fear. He thinks everything's okay. You guys are the only one who thinks something's wrong. He thinks everything's okay. Unless you become as one of these, you won't enter into the kingdom of God. What is one of these? When this little boy wants to know something, where does he go? He goes to daddy, doesn't he? Goes to mommy. Unless you become as one of these, you won't enter in. You know, my dad always tells a story. I don't know why he gets such a kick out of that story. But he says, I was out in the barn one day and I picked up a piece of glass and cut it when I was a little boy. And I had that blood running out of my hand. It was sticky. It felt cool, you know. It's hot South Texas. This was cool. Feel that? And it was sticky, and I'd never seen anything like that before. And I'm just going, and I'm having fun. And he comes out, parents. See, he don't know, but he's the one that made the mistake. He comes out, and he says, "Stan, you've cut yourself." And instantly, I start crying. Because he told me there was trouble. Up until then, there wasn't any trouble. And the Bible says, unless we become as one of these, we won't enter into the kingdom of God. So parents, there's no trouble. There's no trouble. If you give them to God, there's no trouble. You don't run around like a chicken with your head cut off yelling, "The sky is falling, the sky is falling," all the time. That isn't what God told you. You don't tell them that. You tell them the truth. You tell them the Word. Instill Jesus into them, and they will not depart from it. That's a promise of God. Can't get any better than that. Amen? Okay. Teach Nicole and Timothy and all of your children not to follow you. It says train them up. It don't say teach them to follow you. It says train them in the way they should go. Let them know you're going to make mistakes. Let them know that you're still the final authority until Jesus is their final authority. But don't teach them to do everything like you. Let them do something different once in a while. Just as long as it's in the law of God. Don't train them to follow others. Don't give them some goofy doll and tell them that's a hero. Don't tell them that, oh, you know, at Christmas time, that fictitious character that comes, don't tell them he's real. They'll find out later you're a liar, and then they won't believe anything you say. Come on, tell them the truth. Don't let them think that it's okay to follow a Michael Jackson. It is not okay. Teach them that as soon as that they idolize you, you can idolize them. Teach them that when they can go pay $100 for a ticket to see him play, as soon as they pay $100 to see them. Because this is what the kingdom of God is about. Not Michael Jackson and not all this new stuff that comes along. Don't let them be your heroes. Man, you don't need Superman as a hero. And you don't need some super comic as a hero, children. You got God as a hero. You got your parents as a hero. Come on, y'all say amen. You can't say it legally, say it by faith. Break the law a little bit and make it happen. My question to you is, you're giving the kids back to God. All of them. Are you giving them back to God? Are you just want to loan them to Him? Are you want to just intercede whenever you think God may be wrong? Are you truly giving them to God? Y'all too? How about y'all? Let me remind you of something. I've told you this story about Desiree when Desiree was dying on my living room floor. And everything within me said, take him to the doctor. And yet everything, the breath of God in me said, I am your doctor. There's a war. And I remember, to this day, it's just as clear. I remember telling God that the instance of the baby dedication flashed in my mind. And I told God right at that moment, God, I gave her to you. I will not take her back. I will not take her back. I will not jump in between her and her Maker. This is not a cult. Please, I'm trying to talk Scripture to you. If God tells you to take them, then you take them. But if He's warring with your flesh on what to do, you obey God. Or your children will never learn to obey God. The Word must come first in your children's life. The promise of God must come first in your children's life. And everything else must be from the mouth of God. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me. And He did some things that men did. You're understanding what I'm saying. But He didn't do everything that man did. He only did what the Father told Him to do. And if you're going to give these children to God, then you only do to them what God tells you to do. And when He says, get out of the way, you get out of the way. They're not your children. And I promise you, as God is my witness, as the Bible is His Word, He will come up better than the rest of the children around. He will. Amen. He will. You homeschool. I told you, I homeschool my children. When my son took that national test to get in the military, he placed top 2% in the nation. And it wasn't because of our brilliance. Because we didn't put enough time in our children. But God did. God did. God did. And now they're chasing him all through the military, wanting to promote him. Walked up and had a guy walk up to him, one of his superior, I don't know what the rank it was, but he said, how come you're at the rank that you are? He said, well, where I just came from, they wouldn't promote me. He said, well, you're in a different place now. The blessings hunt them down and overtake them. Why? Stan, are you taking some credit? Yes, I am. I gave them to God, and I taught them the Word, and I stuck with the Word, so I get to have a little bit of the glory. I agreed with God. I can be proud, not only of them, but what input that I had in them. Amen? All right. You've got to teach them to follow Jesus, because it's the only way they're going to be individuals. Here's the last point I want to make to you. You get, excuse me, I'm not into the latest music or fad or hero craze, so I had to puke Michael Jackson in my face. You've got some more. You've got spiked hairdos, and everybody wants. You know what the individual does that's in the devil, that's in the world? They see one spiked hairdo, everybody's got to get a spiked hairdo, and they call themselves an individual. They see piercings, and so they want to be an individual, and everybody's got to have a piercing. The only way that you can truly be an individual is to be in Christ Jesus. And He's going to make us different. He's going to make us different. Not a piercing or a tattoo or a hairdo. I don't know if you know this or not, but I don't think I need those to be different. I think I accomplished that without those. How about y'all? I don't need different tattooed on me. Because Jesus, my Lord, says, you are peculiar. And I said, yes and amen. You want to be individuals? You teach them about Jesus. He'll take their lives and He'll make them, maybe to you, the weirdest thing you ever saw. But don't you take them back. You gave them to God. You may wake up with a prophet in your house one morning speaking about things that, like Jesus' parent. He spoke things that turned them on their ear often. And yet the Bible says, and Mary pondered these things. Remember? Mary remembered. She remembered that that was not her child. It was God's child. Hallelujah. I said to you that they could be future, or they are future ministers to God. You remember that? And for that, I want you to understand something. I want my parents to understand something. For For anyone that God chooses to be an upfront minister of God, he's got to have more than your teaching input. He's got to go beyond you. If you're not already a pastor, you're going to have to allow some other spiritual input into this person before they can step, listen to me, before they can step beyond your call. There's two things wrong that can happen. And I've seen them both. One is that you determine you have a minister and you make them a minister and you've already done wrong. Two, they can be a minister and they start actually literally surpassing you spiritually and you hold them back. Because they don't agree with what you... I'm talking about when they get older. They don't agree with the way you believed it. And yet God is moving them on. Don't get in God's way. You know, I feel so impressed to make sure that you understand. You have a half dozen kids. But that's not the point. That's not even the end of this thing. You have a half dozen ministers for God. And that goes so far beyond six children. It's unbelievable. Because those children will have children. And I don't mean physically. I mean spiritually. If you're a minister in the tabernacle of meeting, you have other children than the physical children. When you give them to be ministers to God, you've touched around the world and you don't even know it. You've touched around the world and you don't even know it. I'm charging you with this because I really felt like impressed this morning that God has special things for the kids. I don't know which one. I'm not going to get up here and try to be a prophet and start calling them out. It would take probably too much time and right now too much energy. I'm full of this. You must train them in the way God wants you to train them. You must do that. There'll be challenges come to you. And you must resist the challenges. And that's going to teach them to resist the challenges. You must do this if you want them to be everything that God has chosen them to be. Now, I've never spent this much time in baby dedication, so you must understand there's something going on here other than a baby dedication. There's something going on. I want the family to understand what I'm saying. I want you to understand, even in your own children, that you must allow God to do what He's going to do. You must do that. I probably should have my dad come up here and affirm that. Sometimes even if it's against every bone that's in you, you got to turn them loose and let them go. And what will happen is when they fall in love with God, and I warn you this, when they finally give their heart to God and go for the ministry, if you don't allow them to go, they'll turn their back on you. Because they're learning that their relationship with Jesus Christ is more important than yours. It's the only way that they'll be a minister in the house of God. They've got to give it all up and go for Jesus Christ. Amen? Got the picture? Have I got you serious enough yet? I hope so, because I really think God thinks this is important. And I call the congregation to be diligent with this thought process. I charge you to reject the teachings of men. I know you already got a good start on that, but you ain't got it all. You don't have it all. You don't have it all. Reject the teachings of man, clinging to every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Where's the little ones? You want to take it? You know you're dying to hold a baby. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, yes. See those eyes roll back? That's called worry. That's called worry. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father, now, we don't take these from the parents and say we dedicate them. I'm not even too sure why we have them. It's just ceremony. But we'll take them. I'm honored, Lord, in your presence. I'm honored. My wife is honored to hold future ministers of the living God. What we do in this holding is we agree with the parents. We agree with the parents that these are yours. That Timothy and Nicole and even the wet diaper is yours. It's yours, Lord. We don't worry about this. It's the way you designed it. We give these children to you, Lord. We give them as parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins. We give them to you, Lord. We give them to you as a congregation, as a family of the living God. We give them to you. And Lord, we will be patient. We will be patient as you do your work in these children. We're going to look with anticipation as you raise all of these kids up to be ministers of the living God. Amen. All of them up. God, I ask you to bring blessings, honor, abundance into this family because of their commitment to you. I ask you and I speak over these children that all the days of their life, their steps will be ordered by you because they are yours. We're going to give you the glory and we're going to give you the blame, Lord. We're going to give it all to you. We're not going to get in the way. We're going to do our part to train them in the way they should go. But we're going to expect from you that the hand of God is mightier than the hand of man. We love you with all of our hearts and we trust you. If this is the day the Lord hath made. These are the gifts that the Lord hath made. You've given them to us and we thank you. Now we give them back. We do it in Jesus' name. Parents, do you agree with the prayer that I just prayed? Then I want you to say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You like him?
Yeah, he's my brother.
Praise the Lord. You guys can be seated. We'll get you a certificate later. Whatever one, if you want six or you want two, we'll get them to, for you. Okay? You got anything you need to say? If you agree that the prayer of agreement is much more important than our prayers, you understand what I'm saying, than our words. Hallelujah. You bet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I hope, you know, we've been talking about, and I'm not going to get wound up again, but I want to remind you of something. We've been talking about the dominion that God gave man. You remember that? And I don't believe by one, not one second, that God did not only institute what we just did, but He heard every word that we spoke. And I'm not talking about as some people think God hears. He takes it into contemplation, He molds it over, and He decides whether we're full of it or not. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that when we agree with the Word of God, you think what we spoke and read and did this morning agreed with the Word of God? When we agree with the Word of God, that thing which Satan took way back there in the garden, we took back and we gave it back to God. I believe that. And I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that, can I just get bold here for a second as if I don't? I'm telling you, those children don't have any choice anymore. They don't have any choice anymore. They will follow God. It's the only place in the Bible that I can find where we have literally dominion over somebody else's spiritual future. Parents have that. I read it to you. It says, train them up in the way they should go. And when they're old, they're not apart from it. Either God said that or He didn't. If He did, it's the way it is. If He didn't, let's stop going to church. We're wasting our time if that's not the truth. Amen? All right. I'm going to get last week's message out of the way. And I'm going to do it quickly. Can you turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 28? And then we're going to be finished. Okay. Children, you can now go with her. How many of you remembered anything that I said last week? Anything. What do you remember? See, never raise your hands. You learn it in the military. Never volunteer. No, go ahead. Anybody else? While he's thinking. Okay. Last week we said that because we broke fellowship, God was the loser. He was the one that hurt. And we need to stop thinking about ourselves. That's what I said. Get the tape. The blood is not enough. The flesh must be destroyed. That was Jesus' example. He shed the blood and then His flesh was destroyed. Those two things have to happen or you're just taking advantage of part of salvation. It happened in the garden, correct? It happened when Adam and Eve listened to other voices. Remember? They heard God's voice. They knew the way. And yet they listened to some other suggestion because they thought there might be a better way. We said there is no better way than what God has said. No matter what comes into your mind, no matter what anybody else says, it's only God's way that is the best way. Right? All right. Man fell. He needed, and God lost fellowship. So God was interested in restoring fellowship. Now I'm going to read to you out of the book of Ezekiel. And I'm going to read another a description of what happened in the garden. And what happened when what happens still today when man falls. Ezekiel chapter 28. And this is going to be a long reading, so you better turn there and hang with me. And I want you to listen because you're going to hear once again the description of the fall of man. Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, or say to flesh and its desires, thus says the Lord of God, because your heart is lifted up, because your heart has lifted itself up above what God wants, And you say, I am God. Now, we get one more light on what happened in the garden. The God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords says, don't touch it. Right? And they said, I can. They said, I am God. I don't need you, God. I am God. Anytime that we decide that we don't have to obey the Word of God, we are saying, according to the book of Ezekiel, I am God. And you say, I am God. I have my rights. I can do what I want. I don't need to listen to my parents, grandparents, God, anybody else. No law. I'm God. It's what you say. I sit in the seat of gods, in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man and not a god, though you set your heart as the heart of a god. Now listen to me. Did God give man dominion? So when he starts to decide to do it his way, he sets himself as God because he has the power to. Now listen to me. You have the power to be your God. You have the power to be your own God. That's what it's saying. You've decided to sit in that power. Instead of sitting in the power of God, you've decided to sit in the power that God gave you, and you took that and you've become God by making your own mind up and not paying attention to the Word of God. Verse 3. Behold, are you wiser than Daniel? There is no secret that can be hidden from you. With your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself. Now listen to me. I'll explain to you very carefully that riches don't just belong to Christians. It says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. So if you want to take wealth, you've got to be smarter than Satan's people. It doesn't say they don't have any wealth. It says you have the right to supersede that and take it. How do you take it? Well, get out of the God seat and put God there. There's no secret that can be hidden with you. With your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. And you think it's all about you. You think that the world was created for you. And you think the riches were created for you. And you think the garden was created for you. You think the Bible was created for you. You think the children were created for you. You even think your friends are created for you. You've stored up riches for yourself. You have an eye problem. Verse 5. By your great wisdom. By your great wisdom and trade. By the way, that I gave you. You have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. There's only one way your heart is allowed to be lifted up, and that's in Christ Jesus. Anything else that gives you a thrill, you're in whoredoms. Did you hear what I said? Wife of mine, Stan, friends of mine, don't come and acting real excited about the last sale that you made and all that money unless you're more excited about God. Because I'm going to look a little down that way. I'm going to know where your heart lies. Man, you get excited about the last thing God said to you. You get tremendously excited about the last time you know He smiled at you. You know you felt it here. You get excited. You have a grin on your face. Walk in health and life. But if you're downtrodden until you get your next paycheck, something's wrong. You've used your wisdom in trade to increase your riches. Verse 6, therefore says, thus says the Lord God, because you have set your heart as the heart of a God. How many of you wait to seek God until something's going wrong? Let me say it another way. How many of you only seek God when you're in trouble? Maybe that's why you're in so much trouble. God's going to get your praise. You know that? So if it's keeping you in trouble to get it, so be it. Come on. Stay with me. I'm going to look at things different than most. But it's still the truth. If we want to stay out of trouble, give God praise and seek Him continuously. And then you'll be in His presence. And the trouble can't be in the presence of God. Verse 7, behold, therefore I will bring strangers or forces against you. And while I said, if He's got to get your praise, if He's got to squeeze it out of you, He's going to send enemies against you. The most terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom. Or challenge what you've taken for granted. They'll defile your splendor. They shall throw you down into the pit, and you shall die the death of the slain in the midst of the seas. Will you still say before Him who slays you, I am God? My word. In other words, when your enemies are literally standing on top of you and killing you, are you going to feel like God then? You got the big head still? You really think you're hot stuff now? That's what the Scripture's saying. I'm not making it up. It's what it's saying. But you shall be a man and not a god. In the hand of him who slays you, you shall die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of the aliens. For I have spoken, says the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of your flesh, or your flesh, the king. When it says I want to slug that guy. When it says I'd like to take that thing that's so beautiful. When it says the Sabbath is made for me. I'm going out there and I'm doing my thing. I don't have to be in church. Take control of that area. That's what it's saying. Take control of that area. Don't let it tell you what to do. Some of you macho men and women, you spend most of the time obeying a piece of fatty tissue called flesh. And whatever that tissue wants, you do. And you can't figure out why the tissue, we just read here, why it wants to die on you all the time. Because God's a jealous God. And He wants the flesh out of the way. Don't make the challenge and the fight between your flesh and God. Because your flesh is going to lose. You take care of it and you won't suffer. You tell that flesh, shut your mouth, flesh. I read the Word of God. I know it says that do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That the Sabbath was made for your fellowship with God. It wasn't made for your fellowship with whatever else. Son of man, take up a lamentation against that flesh and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection. You were the seal of perfection. When you were created, remember I told you this last night, you were created perfect, last Sunday. It says right here in Ezekiel, you were the seal of perfection. You were the proof of God's perfection. You were the evidence of God's perfection. You guys ought to be getting goosebumps all over you for this. What God made you, how He made you, you are the guaranteed seal of that perfection. Why? Because you are in the likeness and image of God. Don't let anybody tell you different. My word, that's good stuff. That's a powerful scripture. You were the seal of perfection. You were full of wisdom and in perfect beauty. Not according to the Miss America contest. According to God, much more important. Now listen, verse 13. Are you reading with me? You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. You think your diamond's pretty? Is it pretty? I'm telling you, this says that those were just used as your skin. That's how important you were. Whatever you thought was beautiful and gorgeous and pretty and valuable, God had you covered by that. That's how He made us. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. My pipes were created by God. I'm the only creature on this earth that can speak like God can speak. Because God made this and made me to do that. I need to take great pleasure and some pride in what God did here and there. Nobody's going to tell me I'm not in the likeness and image of God. I can read better. Listen to this. You were anointed. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. We still can, guys. We still can. When the fire of God consumes you, you're going to catch yourself in the fire of God. You're going to feel like there's something in you. If you don't open your mouth, you're going to explode and burn up. That's God. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. I never had anybody tell me that before. It took God to make me understand that. I was perfect in my ways the day I was created. I didn't stay there. I fell. But I got back up. I got a suit. If I fall in the mud, I can take it to the cleaners and get it clean. And you won't know that I fell. Right? Come on. I got this little thing that fell. I took it to the cleaners. And I'm taking it to the cleaners today and tomorrow. Sometimes I take it behind the woodshed. I tell it, you ain't going to tell me what to do. I'm telling you what to do. You learn to do that with your flesh, you'll learn to do it with other people's. You'll be able to, I don't care how big the enemy comes, you'll be a David looking at Goliath and he'll say, you don't intimidate me. I'm going to take you and I'm going to do to you what you said you were going to do to me. I'm going to show you who's boss. The Bible says that we are required and allowed to see our enemies fall right before our eyes. Now listen, verse 15. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. You were perfect from the day you were created until iniquity was found. Boy, I need to remember this. Harry, all of you people that get into challenges with people, remember this scripture. It's the proof to me that babies are going to go to heaven until they sin. And no ifs, ands, or buts. If they die, if your children all die tomorrow, they're all going to be in heaven to be absent with you, but they're absent with the Father. They're present with the Father. That's the worst thing that can happen to my kids, is they be with God. Come on. Don't let your flesh take you down in that. Let your spirit man realize how great that is. I have no risk here. I have no risk here. You were perfect until iniquity was found in you. Adam and Eve were perfect until iniquity is found in them. You were perfect until iniquity is found in you. But that's not the end of the story. By the abundance of your training, you became filled with violence. And you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. And I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. Now listen to me. God has gifted you tremendously. He's created you in His likeness and image. Gorgeous, beautiful, powerful, rich and healthy. But the iniquity is found in you because your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. Be cautious. As I lift you up in the Spirit, you better be cautious. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're not beautiful because you're you. You hear that on television, you tell them you're a liar. You're not beautiful because you're you. You're beautiful because you're in the image and likeness of God. So your beauty came from Him. Don't you think you sprouted it. And don't you think it was that expensive bottle of makeup that you bought. Right? All right. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. Man, I could spend an hour on each one of these. I cast you out to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities. You remember what I told you about that you're the altar? And the iniquity, the iniquity, the sin, the disobedience, the listening to other voices tainted the altar and the blood had to be shed to clean the altar. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. Then, verse 20, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face towards Sidon. Another word for flesh, your fleshly desire. Set your face towards that and prophesy against her. Now, excuse me, if you think that I go insane just for a second, it's okay, because I'm going to tell you what the Scripture says. The Scripture says when you see something wrong in you, you prophesy against that. You say, you'll have no place in me. I'll not be taken down by you. I don't care if it looks like I'm sick, I'm not sick. Prophesy against that flesh. You will not die, you will live, flesh. You do not belong to yourself. You belong to me. God has given me dominion over you. You will obey me, flesh. You will come into the likeness and image of God. You will obey the word of God. You will do what I tell you to do. You start learning to do that over you, you can do it over your wife. You can do it over your children. You can do it over your finances. You can do it over the church. You can do it over everything that touches your life. You can do it over that cranky neighbor. It says prophesy against it. Or in reality, the correct word would be prophesy for it. When you begin to prophesy the word of God over anything, you're doing it for it, not against it. And if it chooses to die, that's its choice. The kingdom of God is still better off. My wife still hadn't let me forget that I stepped up here Sunday and I said, if you're not going to want to change, then die and get out of the way. Prophesy and let it make the choice. Let it make the choice. Say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, flesh. Sidon is part of your flesh. Look up the word if you don't believe me. The Bible says, God says to you, say it to your flesh. Now, you may have some of your friends, kin folks, and neighbors that think you're a little crazy you start talking to your flesh. But I tell you what, you start talking to it and see if it don't obey. You will not eat that. You will not go there. You will not do that. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, flesh, Sidon. I will be glorified in your midst. I will. See, even God prophesies. He says, I will be glorified in your midst. Why can't we learn to do it like He does? I will be glorified in your midst, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I execute judgments in her, and I am hallowed in her. For I will send pestilence upon her, and blood in the streets. The wounded shall be judged in her midst by the sword against her on every side. Then they shall know that I am the Lord, and there shall no longer be... Now listen to this. I'm going to stop right there, but before I say verse 24, I want you to remember something. We read last week and the week before... that there weren't any thorns and there weren't any brambles and there weren't any sticky things in this earth until pestilence, until sin came in. Then they found out the thorn bushes, right? Come on, tie them together. Verse 24. And there shall no longer be a pricking briar or a painful thorn. Our obedience to God removes the curse. Now listen, let's go further. And there shall no longer be a pricking briar or a painful thorn for the house of Israel. Your obedience doesn't remove pain from somebody else. It removes yours and your household and eventually those that you hang around with. It removes them from the house of Israel, from among all who are around them, who despise them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord your God. I got you another promise. Hold this up in the face of God. The Bible says that you are to remind God of His Word. His Word says that you're not supposed to be having trouble with sickness and disease and things that attack you all the time. And it also says the only way they're going to know that you're God is for that to leave me. I will send painful thorn for the house of Israel from among all who are around you. Then they shall know that I am the Lord God. He wrote this. I didn't. Hold him to his word. God, this has got to go or they're not going to know your Lord. Thus says the Lord God, when I have gathered the house of Israel from the peoples among whom they are scattered, and I am hallowed in them in the sight of the Gentiles, then they shall dwell in their own land, which I gave to my servant Jacob. And they will dwell safely there. For all of you that gasp big amounts of air every time anything happens. And they will dwell safely there. Great minister to me. I ministered to her, but she ministered to me more. Because she was taking great gasps of air about everything that happened. It was all bad. And I remember saying to her, and then found out what it meant. You need to get saved. Because you're not safe from anything. Are y'all safe from things? Are you really sozoed? Which means safe. It doesn't mean saved. It means safe. And they will dwell safely there. They will build houses and plant vineyards. Yes, they will dwell securely. When I execute judgment, all those around them who despise them, then they shall know that I am the Lord their God. We got another promise. When we start seeing those that are against us fall, we can say, Lord, there's a lot against me. I'm not seeing them fall. Evidently, you don't want to reveal yourself. I ask you to reveal yourself, Lord. If I've done what I'm supposed to do, you do what you're supposed to do. And if I'm not, correct me. Prophesy, it says. Prophesy. I got to stop. The Lord God's doing a mighty thing in the midst of this body. A mighty thing. I'm telling you something. For those of you that don't know us, and for those of you that do, God doesn't talk this strong unless He's trying to accomplish something. He doesn't reveal His Scripture in so much depth unless He has a reason. He don't waste His time. He doesn't have idle chit-chat. Idle chit-chat comes from churches that don't want to really know Jesus Christ. It's a pretty word and it sounds great. And the word is, oh, you're created in God's likeness and image. You're precious to Jesus. And they call that the good news. And yet the Scripture says, until iniquity was found in you, and God wants it out. That's the good news. It says, this is the good news. You've been walking in thorns and briars and pain and trouble. And the minute you get the iniquity out, and the minute you start prophesying to those things to leave, I'm going to put you in a safe, secure place. And that is going to reveal me, God says. When I put you in that place, you prophesy, you begin the work, and I will finish it. Yeah. That's good news. The other, I'm promising you, the cheap gospel, the one that don't even require you taking up a cross, which means there's no cross, is a cheap gospel. And it's worthless. Pave the floor with it. Use it for toilet paper. Do whatever you want. But don't believe it. Don't believe it. I'm reading you the truth. I have a scripture I read you this morning. It showed you the fall of man. It showed you how to get it restored. How do you get it restored? You begin with the blood of Jesus to cleanse the altar. The blood of Jesus will cleanse the altar, but that is not the final step. Then it says you step up to the plate, boy. And you begin the work of salvation. You prophesy to that flesh. You prophesy to the enemies. You prophesy against those things that come against you. And you prophesy until you're a safe place. And when you're in a safe place, I'll be revealed and you'll start to praise me and you won't have to worry about it anymore if you just keep praising me. Praise the Lord. Is Jesus the Word? Jesus is not just the blood. He's not just the cross. He is the whole Word.
Yes.
So I don't care if you're reading the Old Testament or New. You got to have all of Him or you don't get any of Him. Don't look for the cheap or easy way out. Because then your children are going to look for the cheap and easy way out. And the grandchildren are going to look for the cheap and the easy way out. And it's going to go downhill as society has shown us. It's going to go downhill. It's going to go from the point of Adam and Eve to Noah. In a few generations, because of iniquity, went from Adam and Eve to Noah. To where basically all that were created were walking with God. To where only a few in the entire earth were walking with God. Because somebody didn't stand up and say, this is what the Word really says. It doesn't say you don't. All you have to do is throw a little, one more lamb on the fire and everything's okay. Don't a little song, you know, one more log on the fire. No, no, that was the Old Testament, man. One more bull on the fire, one more lamb on the fire and everything's okay. Uh-uh. No more. No more. No more. No more little. No more Hail Marys. No more one more prayer at the altar. No more one more dollar in the offering plate. No more one more time pleading the blood. No more. No more. Prophesy. If you know who you are, Harry, if you know who you are, then you don't talk about things, you talk to them. Why? Why would you talk to them? Because you were created in God's image. He spoke to the earth and it was changed. And He said, now it's your turn. I give you dominion. And don't you go talking to me a bunch more about your problems. Speak to the problems. Praise me that they're resolved. But you speak to the problems. Praise me that they're taken care of. Speak to the problems. Then give me praise and I'll reveal myself. Get up off your knees. How many of you can walk around on your knees very long? Come on. How many of you can stay on your knees very long? If you can, show me. I want to see it. But I can tell you about 2 seconds on my knees. And I'm up. Why? Because God didn't create me to spend a lot of time on my knees. He gave me perfect balance on 2 feet so that I can stand up and I look eye to eye with the enemy and I prophesy to it. And you know what? My eyes are the windows of my soul. I'm a crazy man. I'm a crazy man. That's what the Bible says. You stand up and prophesy to the enemy, they're going to think you're crazy. But you're going to know they're crazy. Because they don't understand what you're doing. Prophesy. Prophesy. You do it like God did it. The Bible says you say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. And do not doubt, you will have what you say. It doesn't say that you'll have what you pray for. I don't mean to upset your apple cart, but it never said, fall on your face and pray to me and I'll give you what you ask for. It says you prophesy. Look at him. Look at me. How do I see a mountain? Like this? Is that how I see a mountain? It says, say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. Stand up in the position that God puts you in. You look like Him when you start saying, mountain, get out of my way. Because that's what He did at the earth. He said, you're ugly. Change. Isn't that what He did? He didn't fall on His face and pray to somebody. He said, I don't like the way you're doing. Change. And then He said, now, you do it. Take that thing that I just gave you and you do it. First start with you. Look in the mirror. What's the mirror? Here's the mirror. It's called the Bible. Look in the mirror and say, ooh, you're ugly. Change. Me. You say to me, ooh. Not tolerating that. Never can understand. Guys that have big old hairs going out of their nose and looping over. You want to walk up and say, can't you see that? I get one coming out, I get the scissors and say, I don't like you, you're coming out. Well, I'll tell you what, you don't get anywhere by looking in the mirror and saying, whew. You don't get anywhere with an old car that just barely runs and saying, you're a gorgeous car, you're a gorgeous car. You say, you are not me, we're not going to fit, you're going to get better. And God's going to get revealed in it. I'm not crippled and old and run down like you, and you're not going to hang around me like that. You look at your bank account. When it's empty, you say, you must not belong to me because I'm full. I'm full. I'm rich. You don't belong to me. You change if you belong to me, and you change now. I don't tolerate this lack, want, and need. It's a spirit from Satan, not from God. You change bank account. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And don't you tell me that an empty bank account's not against you. It is. When you're sick, you don't tolerate that. I didn't say you don't tolerate feeling bad. Sometimes you feel it anyway. But you don't stand for it. You begin the prophecy change. When you catch yourself in a lie or an emotional lie or something, there's a problem. You fuss at you. Don't wait for somebody else to. You'll never be a minister of God if you're always getting fussed at.
Right.
You'll be a minister of God when you first take your flesh and you start saying, you're going to do what I told you to do. You're not going to do that anymore. Do you understand me? And you know what God's going to do? Let me tell you something. When Jesus came to the earth and He took His bride and said, you're not clean and you're not spotless, you will change. I'll pay the price, but you're going to change. That's what He did. I'll not tolerate this anymore. That's what He did. He told us how. Now He's waiting for us to glorify Him by catching us by the nape of the neck and saying, you're going to go where I told you to go. For parents, you'll train your children in the way they should go by you going in the way you should go.
That's right.
That starts right there. It don't start with a preacher. You've heard that before. It's still the truth. It don't start with the parents. It don't start with anybody but me. The Bible says, I'm the one standing in need. Right? I need a drink. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for touching us. Thank you, Lord, for touching us. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the blessings are overtaking me. And I can tell you this. I can tell you this. They're not all financial. Thank God they're not all financial. Because my Bible warns me if it doesn't start in order, the abundance will own me. So thank God He's doing a work in me. He's doing a work in you. What for? What for? You know, if you take your car and have somebody fix it, what did you do that for? No. That's not why you had to fix it. So you can drive that sucker. Right? So it'll haul a load and it'll take you fast. It'll take you slow. It'll keep you cool. It'll keep you warm. Guess what? Jesus is trying to fix us. Why? So that we can set back. Right? Smell the roses. No. So He can drive you. He got a place to go and He wants to get there. You're the vessel. Don't you know that you're the vessel? Quit being broke down. Let's quit being broke down. Let's prophesy to that old jalopy and say, you're not going to be an old jalopy anymore. You're going to be a fine running machine.
Amen.
You're a hot rod, Johnny. If you don't feel like it, you just call it anyway. I'll tell you what, I'm at least a 389 with three deuces and a four speed. Sounds like it. That sounds, just call me GTO. I'll come up with something that rhymes with that or something, buddy. I'm a hot rod, in Jesus' name. I'm not a broke-down church, and I'm not a broke-down bride. I tell you what, I'm a good bride. I prophesy that in front of you. I'm not going to use the terms that are in my mind right now, but I guarantee you, I'm on fire for my husband. And I'm hungry. And you know what word I want to say. Because I'm the bride of Christ, man. And when I hang around Him, can't be old. Can't be old, can't be worn out, can't be discouraged. Because I'm going to tell you what He's doing. He's taking me to the far ends of the earth. He's on a white horse and I'm with Him. Ride, ride, ride. Amen. Come on, y'all. Amen. This is a good day. This is the day the Lord hath made. Praise you, Jesus. I will say once again, and I will prophesy until it's true. If it is true as far as I'm concerned today, there wasn't a better message preached on the face of the earth than happened here today. Amen. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. We give you honor. We give you glory. Praise you, Jesus. Now I will ask everybody here if your heart's right with God. Are you beat up, dilapidated, worn out, and full of iniquity? Are you the hot rod of God? Come on, if your heart's not clean, if it's not pure, time to get it done now. The Bible says now is the time of salvation. For me, for you, anybody that's not on the same road with Jesus Christ, you need to get there. You need to get safe. You need to be like that little kid, Timothy. I mean, if somebody don't keep you awake, you just get so relaxed you go to sleep right in the conversation. There's no weapon formed against you'll prosper. Do you realize that is the revelation of no weapon formed against you'll prosper? Absolutely, that is the living revelation of that scripture. I could have dropped him. I could have stumbled and fallen. There's all kinds of I cans. But he didn't believe that, so he went to sleep. A revelation, no weapon formed against you'll prosper. It's what we believe. Amen?
Amen.
All right, all hearts clear? Because I'm hungry. All hearts clear? Praise the Lord. There is a succession of tapes you need to get, and you need to listen. Start with a statement of faith or a little before, and you start following them. And you're going to see the direction God's going. And are you sure you want to go there? I am. I'm just a little bit. I don't know that I'm totally asleep. I saw his eyes every once in a while. I kind of still feel that way. You know what I mean? Every time God takes off like that, I kind of go. I want to be resting in his arms. You know what I want him to do? Let's just prophesy this. I want God to take us. You are going to go into the mouth of the lion, into the face of Goliath. You're going to go into the pit of hell, and you're going to draw people back to God.
Amen.
I prophesy that over you. You're going to walk in power and might and safety, and you're not worried. And gray hairs are not going to come because of worry. They're going to come, as the Bible says, as an ornament, something to wear proudly. You're going to know who you are, and you're going to minister. You're going to minister in your young age and your old age. And you're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. I promise you that because I can hear what God is saying. He's not wasting His time. He's speaking over you mighty powerful things that astound because He wants to finish the work that He's begun here. And He wants to do it in this generation. Do you really think that Jesus wants to hold back from returning? Or do you think He might desire us? Then all we have to do is rule and reign in the midst of the enemy and we usher in His return. Hallelujah. We give You praise today, Lord. We give You praise. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we are Your servants. We will not take a less position than we are in the likeness and image of God and we are Your bride. We will exalt You with our prophecy. We will exalt You with our praise. We will exalt You with our faith. We will exalt You with the mighty deeds that we are accomplishing. We're going to exalt You in the power and the might of that resurrection power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Thank You, Lord, that it's entering into our lives and we are being raised from that position of iniquity into that position of the Garden of Eden where You've so desired for us to be. We love You, Lord, with all of our hearts. We trust You. More than love You, we trust You. You guide our steps. Teach us to walk in each step that You've already taken, showing us the way, clearing the path until that brighter day, whatever that is. I want it now. I'm greedy, Lord. I want the brighter day now. I want Your love now. I want Your power now. I want to see lives saved and returned to You now. And I don't think that's a false desire. I think You've put that desire in us, so we rest in that. Use this message today to raise children, to rear children, to develop children, but also use it to reach into the pits of hell and draw those out that are lost and dying. Use us, Lord. And for these things that we've asked You and thanked You that we prophesied in Your name, we now say it is finished as Jesus did. It is finished. That's what He said. It is finished, those things that we believe. It is finished. We don't need to go back and take them up again and rehash them. Our success in Christ Jesus is finished. And now we go and tell others about You. Change our lives. Use this. And for that we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Yep. Yep. Hey. Y'all. Huh? Okay. That's a name. That's a good thing. That's a name. But now the Bible says we have been given a name that's above that name. Amen? So y'all need to go that way. Don't make him come. Y'all just move over there and pray for him. Amen? You command that thing. Prophesy that his legs are healthy, his skin is healthy. Hallelujah.